Welcome to The Father's Heart with Tom Clark, better known as Papa Tom.
We're back with Elena Barbera, and we have a very interesting question to ask her. And I'm sure the audience is asking this question. How do we get this far? How does this happen to America? This is not the America of our fathers and our grandfathers. How did we get here?
Sure. There are a lot of forces at play, but the basics, you know, the funny thing is people say to me, oh, this is only happening in blue states. And that is not true. First of all, this is not red or blue, and this is not new. So back in the 1940s, a guy named Alfred Kinsey started doing sex experiments on children, and he published them in 1948 and 1949. And what it was a chart where he showed how many orgasms children had over the course of 24 hours from 2 months old up until teenagers. And he had collected data from pedophiles and supposedly done some of the experiments himself. Now, you would have think this man would have been thrown to the wolves immediately. Mm-hmm. Instead, some people gathered around him and said he was an intellectual genius. And oh, yes, children are sexual from birth. And that's where the seeds were originally planted. Now, the Rockefeller Foundation came in and they said, oh, this guy's a genius. Let's give him more funding for more research. And they were the ones who also funded the Legal Guild, who wrote the model penal code that now exists in 39 states to make it legal to show pornography to children in schoolhouses and libraries. Hmm. Out of that original Kinsey Institute at Indiana University, which exists to this day, came CECAS, which is, we talked about earlier, is yes. The largest sexual education organization and most influential in the United States and in our schools. Mary Calderon founded that, and she was a founder of Planned Parenthood. And all of these people in these organizations can all be linked back to this philosophy started by Kinsey and funded by the Rockefeller Foundation.
Hmm. Now, mm-hmm. They always say follow the science. And I've read some reports about the Kinsey reports, and he was saying his statistic is so warped because mm-hmm. of the, how shall I say this, the type of people he was dealing with was a prison population in one sense.
Correct.
And he was dealing with very, very deranged people to start with, assuming that that was a norm. And I don't know how he got into the children or how he was experimenting with these children or getting the statistics from the children, because I don't think the children were in the prisons. So that didn't make sense. But do you have any light to share on that?
I don't because there is a lot of speculation about some of the people were pedophiles who were in prison, who he, interviewed. Some of them were not in prison. I know that. And they supposedly conducted experiments on children and provided data. And then there's speculation on, did Kinsey himself participate in these experiments?
Yeah. Well, or, the other thing, he's been shown to us as being happily married, having children, all those other things. We find out later he was not happily married. He was actually a homosexual and a pedophile himself.
Yeah. He actually self-mutilated, and he was quite frankly, a basket case mm-hmm. who had no business shaping an entire sexual revolution. Never mind,
Right. Never so mind, you're saying the sexual revolution came out of these Kinsey reports, which I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
What was people like the Rockefellers, why were they funding a guy like him?
I don't have an answer on that. And the people that were involved in those decision making are dead. But if I could ask them, I would say, what are you hiding? What is it that you were up to that you found it necessary to fund somebody who to really put all your money and energy behind somebody who said that children should be sexually, assaulted from when they were 2 months old? I can't wrap my head around it.
I have a theory behind it. Or insight somewhat. Every time I've seen evil, I should say. Every time I've seen evil at the highest levels of evil, it always gravitates to power and control. And mm-hmm. everything that evil people do, one world government, the Davos people and Klaus Schwab and Dr. Noah Harari, false prophet. These people are symbolic of, or they actually represent people behind them who are extremely evil, and they're into power. And somehow they connect the sexualization of children and the deep, with the depopulation of the earth, and the concept of stopping people from reproducing as an instrument in their arsenal, if you will, to control people. They want to control people's lives. And the exercise
of control.
And it
is easier control. To control. Weak, broken people are easier to control.
Right. And they're trying to break people from that. And that's one of the reasons why we mentioned before about the feminist movement has been used by these people, evil people, to emasculate men and take fathers out of the family.
Yeah, that absolutely. You know, I can say that I was, you know, born in the 70s and raised in a time when, you know, the feminist movement was starting to take hold and all those seeds were being planted in me. And I was definitely affected by them in my decision making. And it affected the course of my life. You know, this, you can do anything and you don't have to be a mother and you could be a doctor or a lawyer or an astronaut or whatever. And, you know, it really, it devalued and watered down the value of motherhood.
Sure.
And raising a family and women's incredibly important role in supporting our communities as mothers. And, you know, I saw that happen. And I also saw, you know, this deliberate separation from God. In the 80s, we started hearing about self-esteem. Do you remember that? It was everywhere.
Right.
In the news, in the media, in sitcoms. And, you know, what happened, self-esteem was just a seed, a slippery slope to what we have today, which is self-idolatry. So the general culture is no, you don't need God. God can't tell you what to do. God has no power in your life. It's all in you. You're special. You. What you want matters. Your dreams. And we got away from community and service and building and God, and are completely obsessed with ourselves. But you know, we're gonna be okay in the long run. We know how this ends.
You know, the sexualization process is late, as early as 1949, early 1950s, those Kinsey reports, it dovetailed into the National Organization of Women in the 1960s. I think the woman who started that, her last name was Malott. I can't remember her first name. I talked with her sister. I think it was Mallory Malott. It was her, but I don't think it was Mallory who founded the National Organization. It was her sister whose last name was Malott. And they actually had a mantra where they talked about women throwing their bodies at men, controlling men through sex. If you get pregnant, have an abortion. They had like 25 things that they promoted. It was all coming out of communism, that they wanted to break down the family. Breaking down the family. I mean, now that you're a woman who's middle-aged, as you mentioned, and you are a mother and you have a son, your perspective of life is completely different than what that feminist movement has been portraying from the 1960s. What do you want your husband to be like with respect to your son? How do you want your son to grow up? Do you want your son to be a father? Would you like him to be those things? And yet the world is teaching him things and teaching his would-be spouse, his would-be spouses, his would-be mate, not to be able to consider being the kind of woman that God wanted her to be.
Yeah, that's really a tough thing to watch. I'm watching my son, he's 20 years old, and he has trouble finding women that he's even interested in dating because they all have these, you know, sexy Instagram pages, or, you know, half the girls he meets have OnlyFans accounts where they're basically prostituting themselves online. He has zero interest in that. He does want to be a husband and a father and a provider and a leader of his family eventually. You know, he's not mature enough for it at the age of 20. I don't think anyway. Mm-hmm. But he wants those things. And there are fewer and fewer, you know, young ladies out there who are fitting the bill of somebody who isn't completely self-obsessed, somebody who's, you know, really truly going to be dedicated as a wife and a mother and a partner in life. For this generation.
What can people do? What can this young generation do? If you look at the different generations, what could people who are my generation do, your generation do, and down the different levels of society, What can people do to against this? I know we can pray against it. I know we can vote against it. What else can we do?
Yeah, voting against it isn't even that strong, because a lot of Republicans, even if you're voting a conservative, a lot of them have been convinced to support this agenda in some places, because they're totally convinced that it's for educational purposes. So what we really need to do, because there is hope and there is a lot going on right now, first thing we have to do is get people aware. So I made my film free for exactly that reason. I want everybody to be able to see this and learn the truth about what's happening and how we got here. And that's at AmericanGroomerFilm.com. But then what, right? So you watch the film, you invite friends over, they watch it. Now you're sitting there, you're angry. What do you do? So there are a lot of different things. You can start investigating by attending local school board meetings. I know it's not super exciting, but quite frankly, you need to know what's going on. You can run for a school board seat if you want to get more involved. You can look at an organization like Take Back the Classroom. Go to takebacktheclassroom.com, and that's a killer organization where they are teaching parents and or anybody how to get information from a school district and research all the books that are there. And then they're publishing those books on their website, so parents have a place to go and look and see what's actually going on. And then they're training parents how to get those books removed. So that organization, get involved with them or donate to them, or, you know, just
say that,
just
say the name
involved.
Of that organization again.
Take Back the Classroom. They are unbelievable, doing great work. And so that's another way you can get involved. You should be looking at other organizations like the American Principals Project and the Child and Parental Rights Campaign, and these places where you can start to read up on the laws and see what your legislators are up to with regard to parental rights and how you can protect your children. You know, there are like levels of things you can do. Call your local legislators and say, where do you stand on this? You know, and get on them about it. But again, start with school boards. Start by just, you know, getting involved by watching the film. Is a 36-minute commitment and getting educated. Take Back the Classroom. There's so many ways. Any way you can think of is going to be the thing. But, you know, just don't be afraid to ask questions, and you will hit a wall. When you start asking questions of your local school district, they're not going to want it. They're not going to want to talk to you.
So the most powerful thing anybody can do is to speak up. Speak. The most powerful member of our body is our tongue, right? The words that we speak, words change worlds. So we ask our audience, stand up and speak against the things you see happening in America today. And the school board is a great place to start. We'll be back in a moment with Elena Barbera. We're back with Elena Barbera, and we're talking about things that people can do in their lives to overcome the horrible evil that's being perpetrated on our children, primarily through the school system, education system, libraries, anything that has historically been used to touch children's lives, whether it be movies, whether it be books, whether it be libraries, like I said, or schools, is all geared to the sexualization of children, which leads to the destruction of their lives. And then we talked about things in our last segment that they can do, standing up, using their voices, standing up at school board meetings, getting involved with Take Back the Classroom, watching the movie AmericanGroomerFilm.com, which is free. Gratis from Elena Barbera. And I want to bring up an issue that I encountered when I was at Nashville a couple weeks ago. President Trump was the guest speaker, and I sat right in front of him, about 20 rows back. And one of the things that he said, which I really support, and that was when he gets elected president, he wants to dissolve the Department of Education. He says, when I'm get done with the Department of Education, there'll be a desk and a chair there, and that will be it. And with the Department of Education at the federal level, what he intends to do is push the education system down to the local level, to the state and the county level. And he said, in addition to that, when I dissolve it, I'll give the parents $10,000 voucher, an education voucher, $10,000 per child. And they could take that voucher and they go to a public school, they go to a private school, or they could homeschool if they want to. Now, my children, my grandchildren down in Florida, my lovely daughter down there has decided to homeschool her children.
Awesome.
And she told me when I had this conversation with her that Governor DeSantis down in Florida has already approved a voucher in the state of Florida for $7,000 to educate their children if you're homeschoolers. And she's got four kids. I said, well, you'll be making some big money, Deborah, when President Trump gets in there, $17,000, $10,000 per child for the four of them. That'll be $40,000 plus another seven for the state. So that's $17,000 per child. I said, you'll be making money on this deal. Just in humor, obviously. Yeah. But the point is, that is a major step because the Department of Education is doing nothing to truly educate the child in all the classic things they need. It's just a propaganda organization. The teachers' unions, propaganda organization. It's for political power purposes that the education, the teachers' unions exist and the Department of Education exists to propagandize the children. So this dissolution of the Department of Education, I'm 110% behind. What are your thoughts, Elena?
I could not be more behind it. I was raised to think that homeschooling was weird. Homeschool kids were going to grow up to be weird. And now that I'm actually really looking into it, it is the furthest thing from the truth. Homeschool kids far outpace their peers on standardized testing. They outpace their peer, their, you know, public and traditional, we'll call it, school peers on college scholarships and acceptance. They have fantastic social skills because homeschooling only takes 2 to 3 hours a day. So then they're going out into the world with their parents and living life and experiencing things and growing gardens and helping mom with the at-home business and really just, you know, going and learning how to do things like grocery shop and budget, where, you know, traditionally school kids are, they're not gaining any skills. They don't even have home ec and shop anymore. You know, the kids come out knowing how to do nothing. We're not teaching them financial literacy. We're, you know, only about a third of our kids graduate high school being prepared for entry level college courses. Mm-hmm. So I am all for taking the power out of the government's hand, because in almost every case, the government, when they touch something, it turns to garbage. And that is what has happened to our education system. We're falling behind. I mean, China and Russia and all of the other world superpowers, we're toast compared to them. And it's time for us to change. Get our kids out of there. Pull your kids out. Let it crumble. If it doesn't happen, that the DOE is dissolved.
The statistics show that in America, we spend 2 or 3 times on children's education what other countries do, and we've sunk to about 50th in the world. We're like 49th or 50th in the world.
But we're not spending money actually educating them. Now, we're spending money on social programs and lunch and
social engineering.
Social engineering, yeah. So we're saying that we spend a ton on education, but no.
Well, we're
not
spending the money, but we're spending the money on propagandizing them.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we're doing. And we're spending it and doing things that are doing social engineering. The whole transgender program is a social engineering experiment.
Correct.
And it's ruining the kids' lives, not helping them. It's anti-helping them. So from Trump's perspective, we could actually save tens of billions of dollars if we dissolve the Department of Education and gave the money to the parents, where it should be, those $10,000 vouchers, and let the parents decide where they go. It might be homeschooling, but it also could be some private school education.
Correct.
And right. It would force basically the government schools to start educating again, because they'll be competing against the private schools and competing against the homeschools.
And what's happening also at the college level, when high school kids are going into college to learn how to become teachers, they're not even really being taught how to teach anymore. They're being taught how to be social justice warriors. when they go on to become teachers. They are taught to infuse DEI, the race card, climate change, and sexuality into every single subject, into math, into English, into history. The history is twisted. They're teaching kids, as you know, they're teaching kids to look at each other based on skin color and, you know, judge each other based on that. And so the teachers that are coming out aren't coming out aligned with the values of the majority of the American people. So, you know, by pulling our kids out of those systems, it's going to have to collapse, and we're going to be able to rebuild it in a way that serves the American people.
It's one of the interesting things. I also had a talk with God about that one time, and I said, why is it, tell me how we can know for absolute sure, like almost like mathematically, that we're going to win at the end. And he said, it's because lies, God said this to me, he said, lies are not sustainable. Only truth is sustainable. I hold everything together by the power of my word and the word of my power, which is truth. Everything is held together by truth. And if it's not true, it cannot sustain. It has to implode. And the evil people in collusion, because, you know, being driven by satanic forces, powers and principalities of evil, are lying to us. They're causing fear, but it can't win in the end. It's impossible for winning.
It absolutely is. And you know, that brings me so much joy when you speak, you know, the word and talk about how truth is the only thing that is sustainable. It's true. I mean, look what they're doing to the kids with this transgender thing. They're going to come up with this social epidemic, and they're going to try to convince us that they can actually twist and reshape human nature that was given to us by God, you know, both physical and just our instincts and our ways and the way our brains are shaped as men and versus women. We're different. And they think that they can just undo that and everything is going to work out fine. And it's already showing that it's not working out fine. And that's the one thing that gives me hope, is that in the end, human nature will win. The desire for achievement, the desire for freedom, the desire to be close to God will always, in the end, come out.
Right.
And where whatever's going on right now is the freakiest thing any of us have ever had to live through. I mean, there's no question about it.
Right.
And I don't think we could have seen this coming, but yeah. Yeah, I trust God, and I'm sure that he's going to win. And we're winning in little ways. Like, just to give a little glimmer of hope, sure, on the transgender front, in 24, I believe that's the number as of today, 24 states, it has now become illegal to transition a child.
Good.
So you can't give them hormones, you can't give them surgery, nothing. When they're 18, if they're still into it, that's another conversation.
Law and order was designed by God to bring righteousness. Righteousness is being in the right position, rightly related, right-hearted. It's a very practical word. It's not a religious term. Religious people have changed it into that. But it's really putting things back into order again. And so I want to get back to this other thought about is happening with in the media world. We talked about this briefly, about the film industry, the faith in family films that are about freedom, about redemption and freedom. The Cabrini film is one of them. The Chosen has done a great job at bringing out stories from the Bible. But then there are a lot of other stories which are true stories, like Cabrini is one of them I can think of off the top of my head. But the Sound of Freedom, right? They bring out things that are actually happening. There are a lot of heroic true stories that are coming through the media now that is really thriving and really running circles around Hollywood, because Hollywood is woke. Hollywood just distributes things through the, all the sexualization that we're talking about has been rampant in Hollywood for 70 or 80 years, the pedophilia and everything else. It's all collapsing. People who have a heart after God are now producing films that demonstrate faith and for the family. In fact, God opened up the door for me to do one with Kevin Sorbo, as I mentioned, who will be my next person I interview on the Father's Heart Talk Show. And we're going to be making a filming about what good men die for. And the answer to that question is what good men die for is freedom. And we're going to be sharing a true story about a true American hero who helped Poland defeat communism in 1921. And it's stories like that that God wants to bring out because he wants to show people after his own heart that have understood the truth and are bringing God back into the seven mountains of influence in our world. And we thank you so much, Elena, to being with us today. And we look forward to watching your show, theamericangroomerfilm.com. Thank you again, Elena.
Thank you.